This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going down swinging. Mac was putting in new bump music yesterday. He's got to play the hits.
Yeah, you got the new ones here, huh?
He's back there playing the bass right now. Bass
Lord. That's exactly right. Yeah, we've got like 7 or 8. I hope one of them pops up. I was hoping this would be a new one.
But Mac and I are actually going to start a new band called the Groove Tenders.
I like it.
I was thinking Musty, but...
The old number five sent me a song yesterday. New song came from the old number fives. Yep.
Let's go. When are we...
I'll email it to you right now, and you can put it in the system.
All
right,
I had a source in their band tell me the same thing.
What?
That there's a new song coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Brock.
And he's like, I don't know, this Google Drive doesn't work. I'm like, I've been there with you, brother.
Hey, look at that. Mac, sources agreeing. Nice.
Yeah. I'm sending it to you, Mac. Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like children fighting in a sandbox now, too, with this whole stadium.
Or a shine
thing, right?
Box.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, what's going on. But, you know, you had the opportunity to get it done a year ago. It didn't work. And now you left everything open where everybody's going to talk. Everybody's going to have conversations. And everybody in Kansas City is 3 degrees of separation from everybody else. So keep that in mind when people are going, there's nobody out there talking. There's a lot of people that talk.
Heard they might put the stadium on I-70 and 7 where the old Applebee's is.
Oh,
still.
That would be good. I like that way out there.
Yeah. You can get Taco Tuesday at El Ranchero, Talkaholics, go play 18 at Blue Springs Country Club. Now I'm just getting back home.
Yeah. So if Kansas is out and downtown is out, where is the stadium going? Are we back
I can
to
think
North
of
Kansas
some
City?
Beautiful places off Pryor Road and Lee Summit. That's just full of land.
But that's all Jackson County. Will they vote for the 3-8 cent sales tax out there? There is still 95th and Antioch, which hasn't been mentioned in a while, but maybe that's another location, you know, that they can look at this point in time. I don't know. Just get the damn thing done.
Location, location, location. Wow, I have gray hair in my beard now. Welcome to mornings. I'm like, you know the movie The Santa Claus when he shaves and he comes back gray? I'm like shaving and I'm seeing Kling's face. Yeah. I'm like, oh no. I got glasses now.
Yeah, that gray's gonna come fast, man. Oh, yeah, I tell you. It happens overnight.
Can't wait. Go from red to gray. Maloney will be pissed.
Oh, he'll be so mad.
Yeah. You gotta shave it, man. So viewership in the NCAA tournament is at an all-time high since 1993.
That's great, right?
I have a lot of questions, and I'd like to have Mac chime in on this as well, because what are they doing right that the NBA is doing wrong?
They're putting it's a 3-week deal, first of all. So it's postseason, and they got a bracket.
Because I'm interested to see what the NBA playoff numbers are this year, because we have heard the NBA's numbers have gone down, 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 right?
Right.
But NCAA men's, this is, of course, to Austin Karp. NCAA men's basketball tournament is averaging 9.4 million viewers, making the best figure through the second round since 93, right? That's across CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, a plus 3% from last year.
That's great.
Sunday alone had 10.1 million viewers, led by, of course, Duke, Kentucky, and Florida and UConn.
Big name programs.
Right? You had Hurley, you had Kentucky,
Duke.
You had Duke, right? Cooper Flagg. What we said is, what did we say before the tournament started when Cooper Flagg got hurt in the first game of the ACC?
Well, that
sucks. What was your take? This guy has to be healthy for the tournament because they need him for
TV.
Exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that the yin and the yang of the tournament where people are sadness with the non-madness are also kind of seeing the fact that like the big teams and the blue bloods, not necessarily a lot of them, but the
name programs, like you recognize the names.
They bring them in, right?
Yeah.
They and a lot of people that did their brackets said it was all chalk. They just took, you know, whatever. The highest seed in there's a 10, and from the SEC, it's Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
All four number ones are there, three number twos are there. And here we are, and everybody's tuned in. Now, I will also say I think there's a little bit of help from gambling.
Huge help.
Right?
Huge help from gambling, yes.
I mean, we're back at it tomorrow, boys.
Yep.
So we'll be ready for that.
We've
got opening day gambling, got, you know, March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
But a great number so far for college basketball, and I think that number is going to be even the same or a little bit higher this weekend.
But this is what happens when you have the teams that people know, right? Like, whether or not you are an Arkansas fan, you have feelings towards John Calipari, whether you like him or you hate him. There's no middle ground. There's nobody that just walks around and goes, he's okay. No, you either like or you hate John Calipari, so there's rooting interest there. Same thing goes for Duke, right? You either like Duke or you don't like Duke. There's no middle ground.
Or
there.
You
Kentucky,
hate watch.
Or you hate. That's what I'm saying. You're watching one way or the other. That's why they want the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series all the time. Super Bowl doesn't matter because it's the NFL. But you want those big brand name teams to be there. You want the madness on Thursday and Friday of the first round. Mm-hmm. And then you want everybody else that you know and you're comfortable with to be there so you can tune in. Because the average fan, now that you're into the Sweet 16, your bracket may be busted, maybe you're on to opening day or whatever else the case may be. If it's St. Francis, who, by the way, is leaving Division I now because of NIL and going to Division III, but if it's St. Francis taking on Slippery Rock, you're probably not going to tune in. Duke versus Kentucky? Even the most average casual sports fan is going to tune in to watch that. So I think the NCAA tournament has everything that you could want in a sporting event. It's a hit it and quit it. It's 3 weeks long. It's a bracket. It's gambling. Everybody's involved. And people pay attention for 3 weeks. That's why it does so good. It's the perfect sporting event wrapped in a bow. That's a really good threesome.
Yeah. I will say also the thing about it is product placement. What other sports are going on right now?
Yeah.
Like, I think I was the only one at the station last night that probably watched Billy Horschel in the TGL last night.
Hey, man, I was watching Tigers and Giants.
Locked in.
Yeah.
Spring training game, baby.
Last one.
It was. That's what was a little sentimental.
But I think that, like, where the tournament's at, obviously the shock factor of the tournament, right? Not a whole lot of exciting games. Obviously, you had the Maryland game.
Yeah.
You had the
Florida and UConn
game, UConn, which was exciting, but that was it. Like
the Oregon game, but it got over at 11:15.
Way too late for anybody to participate in.
Right, and now you have, you know, Sweet 16 Thursday and Friday, Elite Eight Saturday and Sunday.
Right,
and then we'll have the Final Four and the championship game. Right. So I think it's product placement where it's at, and I also think that the teams that are in it sell. Like we hated the World Series last year, right?
Greatest ratings they've had in decades.
Why?
Yankees, Dodgers.
Thank you.
You're watching, whether you're liking it or hating it.
Not only that, the first four had record numbers.
I know.
Why?
Texas and North Carolina and Xavier, right?
Yeah. Three real programs.
And legit programs.
And I also read this is the most accessible March Madness has been since this streaming wave. I mean, you can watch it on all the apps. Plus, they have the March Madness free app where you can watch every game.
But how is this any different than before?
He's compared to the NBA.
Yeah, I'm comparing it to the NBA as far as accessibility.
Somebody said in the text line, Dusty, March Madness Live is a free app. You typically have to pay to watch the NBA.
Yeah, which is another thing. They're giving it to you for nothing, which, again, NFL, do not get rid of free TV. It's what made you who you are.
Exactly. I mean, we've griped about it with the MLB and with the Royals. The same thing with the NBA. It is really hard to watch games. Oh, we'll pay for NBA TV. Well, I only get the away games. If I'm a Washington Wizards fan, I'm never getting to watch my team play. I think that's really hard. I also think it's, like, for NCAA basketball, I think they have the same issues. These 3 weeks are great for them, but did we watch the last 3 months?
No.
They've got to figure that part out still, so I don't want that to hide the issues from them.
I told you guys, the tournament and college basketball. I mean, I can't even go on now. So good. The tournament.
I just want to win, Jen.
And college basketball. Not the same thing at all.
100%.
Completely different entities. Completely different things.
It'd be like saying, like, well, why does the Super Bowl get so much views compared to week two regular season? It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the NFL, we came and like really put that in its own entity of like where it's at. But like, I think that is the difference in college basketball and in the NBA is that like, one, the NBA is just insanely just a long season and everybody just gets locked in around what? Now?
About April 15th.
Also,
tax
to your
day.
Point, if you're, what did you say, a Memphis Grizzlies
a
fan?
A Wizards fan?
You probably don't want to pay for the NBA app.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But again, like, I think it's one of those things where everybody has more of a chance, I think. And so you love the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The hope.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, hate watching Duke. Like, oh, I just want to watch him. Like, people hate listen. Right.
Yeah. Well, believe me, I can't
wait to see. Yeah. I'm going to sit in my car, but that's what attracts people is that they can have that because if everybody agreed, it'd be boring. Mm-hmm. We'd be in and out of this business really quick. But I think that when you look at like how people watch March Madness, you have the brackets, you have sports gambling, you have all this sort of stuff that goes on, office pools, all this sort of thing to where like where I think it's also helped is that when your bracket is busted, oh, darn. Now I'll go to FanDuel or now I'll go to DraftKings or now I'll go to Underdog and I'll just start betting because I'm never out of it technically. Oh, my team St. John's is out and I had a flyer on them. Okay, who's the next team I think? Oh, you know, Duke is plus 350 or plus 400 or whatever to win the national title. All right, I'll put a little coin on that and see what happens. Duke lost in the Sweet 16. All right, now I'm going to go to Houston. You know, you can do that.
Yeah.
And I think the game has kind of like excelled in that department. But I also think it goes back to the root of the conversation. You have Duke, you have Kentucky, you have Tennessee, you have Arkansas, you have Florida, you have Houston, you have all these major markets, and everybody's going to watch because if you did chalk your bracket up, you're still locked in. If you have an outright bet that's a longevity bet where you're hoping that this team can win, boom, you're in there.
So, Matt, can you do a little quick research and see what the lowest rated Final Four was, not counting like COVID and all that kind of crap?
Lowest rated Final Four?
What do you think it was going to be? What do you think it is? I bet it's one that involved Butler.
That or like, did Loyola Chicago make a Final Four?
They did. Yeah,
probably
right.
That year, maybe.
Or VCU, maybe. I'm just guessing off the top of my head, right?
Well, I mean, what? The Yankees and or the Royals and Mets was a low-rated World Series?
It was a low-rated World Series.
Because it was like, oh, the Royals?
No, it was like the Mets?
Yeah.
No, it's funny. Like when we were there in New York, I was doing stuff for Channel 9, and I was walking around asking people. They had no idea that the Mets were even in the World Series. And that's New York. And they didn't care. And it was Queens, and you could see the stadium.
And I think the other thing that goes to it is that, like, now baseball's in the picture, right? Because they're going to play Thursday, some teams will play Friday, and then everybody will play Saturday and Sunday, basically. Right. Do you think the numbers are either the same, or do you think that they are even higher with another sport involved?
I think they're probably about the same. Yeah, okay. I don't think baseball is going to take away from the viewership of the NCAA tournament because the NCAA tournament is such a standalone thing that everybody seemingly is invested in. Right? It's more than a sporting event. It's I know like Super Bowl Sunday is a pop culture holiday in America. Mm-hmm. This is a pop culture event in America as well. I mean, I obviously the Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event. But I think these 3 weeks of March Madness are probably the second biggest consumed sporting event that we have in this country, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's just the surprise factor. It's the, you know, what could happen. Like I was telling you guys yesterday in our post-production meeting, I think Tennessee and Kentucky is going to pull massive ratings because Tennessee is 0-2 against Kentucky this year. It is Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's got a lot of people that are, you know, kind of, you know, rooting for them to kind of be the team that's like, the second tier team in basketball, even though they have a good roster.
Right.
But I think that like with that matchup, an SEC matchup, that even though we say in the national title game, if it's Georgia, Alabama, woof, ratings galore.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's an SEC battle. That's a rivalry game to the max. People will be tuned in, even if you aren't a Kentucky or Tennessee fan. I think the same thing goes for Duke and Arizona. Arizona's a massive program.
Yep.
And Duke's top dog, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to see Cooper Flagg. So like, everybody knows who Cooper Flagg is now. Maybe 50% of that population knew who he was prior to this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You knew he was the best player in college basketball. You knew who he was going to be. And then all of a sudden, like you watch this tournament and everything starts to fall into place. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're going to get Duke and Kentucky in the Final Four.
Sweet.
Hello.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
there's
like,
that possibility. Yeah.
Now they got a couple games to go, but you know, I mean, even Purdue doesn't move the needle a ton, but Purdue's one of those teams that people will watch.
Yep.
And it's, you know, they're playing close to home in this next two rounds. So I think there's a lot of surprise factor. I think there's a lot of perfect product placement. And I think there's also the fact that you have gambling, you have brackets, you have the opportunity to come back and keep going, even if you do not make it with your bracket, which used to just be the end-all be-all.
Right, and it would be interesting to see what the NCAA tournament would be like if everybody didn't do a bracket. Whoever decided to do that bracket when the NCAA tournament came out for the first time, genius move, one of the greatest innovations in all of sports, because they found a way to capture and captivate people who don't care about their sport. But there's a bracket, there's bragging rights, there's money, there's family pools, there's office pools. Everybody is involved with the NCAA tournament.
So, yeah. Did you get any research back there, Mr. Mallory?
Yeah, so, I mean, they give you each year for Final Four for each semi game and then the championship, just how many people watch it. It's actually pretty consistent over the years. Obviously, 2021, you mentioned that COVID year, Baylor-Houston, one of the Final Four matchups, under 10 million, really low, 8.5. But other than that, I mean, you go year to year, it's pretty consistent. 12 million, 13 million, just going off different Final Four games in years, 14. You had one, UNC and Oregon pulled an 18.2.
That's huge.
That's
UNC,
massive.
Yeah, but it's North Carolina, right? Yeah.
UNC and Syracuse in 2016, 12. Yeah. You know, Villanova, Oklahoma, 10. You get to that Butler game. Give me one second.
One.
Butler, VCU in 2011, 14 million.
Wow. Okay.
So the worst rating that we got was what, the year after COVID?
The year after COVID, yeah.
It was just that one game. The rest, the other semi game and the championship game were normal. But that one game.
Averaging about a 10 million viewers.
Maybe 11 or 12
and
even.
To put
that
into perspective, the NFL on a random Sunday gets 20, 25 million.
Exactly. Browns, what at Colts.
Yeah, it's getting 20 million people, right?
Yeah, no doubt. It is a Wednesday, so it is a Fesco and Dusty poll question Wednesday. No secret of what tomorrow is. It is one of the greatest days of the year. It is a opening day, a tradition that I love more than anything, but of course, since it is Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Pretty simplistic question. Do you tailgate for opening day? Sellout crowd, right? 30, 38, 30, somewhere around there, 1,000 people will be there. Probably a lot of people going to get there early. We'll have the news on because I'm sure there'll be a car ready to go in.
Yeah, car's probably ready to go in right now, right?
7 a.m. But it is a simple question. Do you tailgate for opening day? Yes or no? Because I think that's the day where you do kind of, you know, take the ball in the glove, get there a little early so you're there.
Right.
Do a little short toss. Take a little Jersey Mike sub, you know.
Ooh, nice.
Do it now. It's for a good cause.
Yeah, that's right. Month of giving right now, Jersey
right.
Mike's. Yeah. All goes
great.
To Braden's Hope.
Yeah. So
I have an excuse now.
So like 100% of their proceeds go to that foundation. So good reason to get that.
Okay,
go
sweet.
Go get you a little couple subs. Eat them in the back of the tailgate. Going to be 75 degrees. Do you tailgate for opening day? Yes or no? That is the question. Because I think I will. I'll be there tomorrow. Can't wait.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, cannot wait. So
you bring the glove, bring a ball.
I think so. Depending on when we get there, depending on what the weather does. I know it's supposed to rain early in the morning.
Oh yeah.
But then by the time it gets to like 11, clear skies.
Day.
Clear days and breezy and 75. So yes or no on tailgating for opening day. I would say yes is going to be the winner of that.
I think
people will be like, opening day, I tailgate it. Well, not everybody does that.
Yeah. I tailgate on Tuesdays in May for the Padres.
But I think that is like, I think for a lot of people, that will be the only day they'll be like, yeah, that's the only time I go to the Royals game and tailgate because it's a party.
It is, yeah.
I mean, everybody's there, everybody's in a good mood, and then hopefully they win because if they don't, then the season's over. Right. So, I mean, because normally what, like, if you go to a Royals game, like, you'll take like a sixer and drink a couple after you park and then like maybe take one to walk in with and then you get in the game and that's it. That's the equivalent of baseball tailgating.
Yeah.
Opening day, you're taking some wieners.
Oh, I'm sure there'd be people out there. I've heard from people, we're going wieners. Out at 8 o'clock. I'm like, you're going out at 8 o'clock.
Pace yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the game doesn't start till 3. I mean, what are you going out there at 8? What are you going to do all day?
Yeah, 3:10 start. They'll probably start doing introductions around 2:30.
Yeah, they'll probably say get in your seat by 2:30 or something like that.
Which is, I think, fine. Somebody in the text line says we get there by 9 every year.
Wow.
That is early, man.
That's true blue, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm trying to think, when we tailgate for a Chiefs game, I mean, we're only there for like 4 hours early, it seems like.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, but you have like the system down. Like, you got the spot, the people.
Yeah.
You know, some people have to get there like way earlier than that.
No, but I mean, that's when the gates open. Like, they don't open 6 hours early. I mean, you know, they open about 4 hours early, right?